What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Before AI can help your business predict demand, accelerate growth, inform decisions, automate tasks, reveal insights, generate content, you have to trust it. Introducing Watson X Governance. Helping you govern any AI as data, models, and policies change so you can scale it responsibly. Let's create AI that begins with trust with Watson X Governance. Learn more at ibm.com/governance. IBM. Let's create.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Welcome to Inside the Studio, presented by iHeartRadio. I'm your host, Joe Levy. So, like a lot of us, pretty much all of us, the guest on this episode of the home edition of the show, Gracie Abrams, started out 2020 with a totally different plan in mind. She had moved from putting her music up on SoundCloud and then Instagram, and sometimes she was just sharing snippets, just pieces of a song, to signing with a major label and releasing her music that way. And she had lined up shows in London, New York, and Toronto to celebrate the release of her first EP, which is called Minor, and which is full of hushed pop songs that deliver really big feelings in a very quiet way. Except then, 2020. And Gracie ended up playing her first ever shows as live streams from the same place that she had first started making her music, which is her bedroom in Los Angeles. You know, the home edition of Inside the Studio is all about letting you know how the pandemic has impacted the lives of artists. And Gracie told our quarantine correspondent, Jordan Runtog, that she really wouldn't be writing songs like her new single, Brush Fire, if COVID hadn't happened. She also talked about how she first turned to songwriting because she had lost her journal and she needed a way to process things. Writing songs is how she figures out her feelings and expresses them. And she talked about leaving home, coming back there, and drawing power from once again being in a room alone by herself, creating. As always, if you enjoy this episode, be sure to check out the iHeartRadio podcast that Jordan hosts, which is called Rivals, Music's Greatest Feuds, and which is available wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, everyone. My name is Jordan Runtog, but enough about me. My guest today was preparing for her first ever concert tour in 2020, but coronavirus had other plans. Instead, she's returned to her musical roots, her bedroom, where she's been thrilling fans across the globe with virtual concerts. It's a fitting homecoming for an artist who first attracted listeners with self-produced songs shared to online platforms. The fearlessly personal lyrics were taken directly from the pages of her own diary. Last summer, she unveiled her debut EP, Minor, a deeply vulnerable collection of songs that detail the emotional peaks and valleys of a romantic relationship. She says her latest single, Brush Fire, is her way of closing the book on that tumultuous chapter of her personal life, and she's looking ahead to the future in a new year. I'm so happy to welcome Gracie Abrams.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here. It's really cool for me, so thank you.
Well, first and foremost, how you doing? I know if I feel like every conversation I have lately has to have the prerequisite like status check. How you feeling? Feeling good? Feeling grounded?
Yeah. Yeah, hanging in. I'm really grateful to be with my family. for the holidays and to just be home together is like, despite the fact that that's been this entire year, it feels especially kind of comforting to be able to have them close by at this time. So yeah, how are you though?
I'm good. Sort of dealing with the same thing, kind of. We had our first Thanksgiving without our family for the first time. So cooked the turkey. First time, didn't set it on fire. That's a plus. So as far as I'm concerned,
okay, that was me too. Exactly. We're doing all right.
It's the small things. It's the small wins these days.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, you have a new song out now, Brush Fire, and it is absolutely exquisite. I mean, the words are vulnerable and brave and at times brutal. I want to ask you, what does that song mean to you?
Thank you. It felt like a bookend song kind of for what I released this year, and having put out Minor, which is like the first body of work that I've ever made. And it was kind of about the same theme in terms of like a different stages of a relationship. And I feel like Brushfire leaves it kind of a bit of a cliffhanger in terms of returning to bad habits in a relationship and kind of like fueling the fire of like treating somebody else poorly and then them doing the same to you, and it's just kind of a bit of a cycle, but you really do feel a kind of sincere love, so it's a challenging. I just was trying to like leave it on a note that I felt good about, and you know, Tobias Gesso Jr. and Blake Slatkin, who I wrote the song with, they're both like so unbelievable, so to be able to work with them made it a really seamless process, and so I'm super grateful for that.
I'm a huge fan of Tobias's work. I love his contribution.
He's
to
a
it.
Genius.
So incredible.
Now, yeah.
Do you feel Brushfire sort of closes the chapter that you had written on Minor in a way?
Yeah, I think so. I think it definitely sounds super different from the rest of the music that I'm making right now, which I'm relieved about, because I wanted Minor to feel like a foundation that was honest and super true to the kind of music that I write when I'm alone, which is just like super stripped back, and it's like guitar or piano and, you know, the lyrics, and that's it. And I feel like I'm working now a little bit differently in terms of writing to track sometimes, and that's just changing the way that I'm writing. I'm just really learning every single day, and I'm trying to step outside of the little world that Minor was, because I would love to be somebody that can grow as they like age. So I'm trying to like step outside my bubble.
There's an incredible quote you gave recently where you said, "I'm more scared to put out a song that I don't feel is honest than put out a song that's oversharing." I thought that was just such an incredible sentiment and a really admirably high standard that I feel like an artist should have. I just want to ask you more about that. Like, why you feel that way?
Reason that I love songwriting is because I like need it to feel like sane and connected to myself, and like it's just the way that I've always processed feelings, and like I'm an introverted person, so I don't necessarily share like how I'm really doing with people in my life all the time, and that's fine because I have songwriting. But if I ever like contaminated that practice by being dishonest, then I would be like fully betraying myself. I feel like I don't know what I would like really have if I weren't being like entirely transparent, and I also like would feel shitty, excuse me, weird about it. Like I wouldn't know how to kind of like like look at myself if I because you know when you're not telling the truth, like it's a you know. So I, you know,
yeah. I mean, it's an incredible thing to feel. I'm always fascinated by people who are able to write songs and are sort of blessed with that ability. At what point do they start thinking about other people? When you sit down, is it primarily to get a song out of you and get feelings out of you? Or are you trying to connect with somebody else? Or is it a mix of both?
When I'm releasing music, you mean?
Or when you're writing it, at what point in the creative process do you actually start thinking about, oh, people are going to hear this, and do you adjust accordingly? Or
I never think about it. No, I don't think about it. It's interesting because because this is the first year that I've ever like released anything on like a streaming service, I realized that I don't really get the like wave of emotion when a song is being released. It's just when I've like finished writing it that I'm like feeling all the things. And because again, like it is a really, it's just such a personal thing for me, which I am super grateful for. There are definitely like, I don't ever read comments really because of how personal it is. And I try to have thick skin about everything around me all the time, but like, I don't know. I feel so excited when I see that anyone is either listening or connecting to the words, but I don't think I even have enough experience yet to really be able to think about like how are people going to receive it. Weirdly, because I've never even played a show yet, so I don't even know what that like in person reception looks like, and so I'm sure my like answer would change in a year after shows are up and running again, hopefully, but you know, we'll see.
When did you first know that music was a way that you wanted to express yourself and express these feelings? Do you remember your first song?
Yeah, I mean, it's so stupid, but I had been journaling for a really, but the first song that I ever wrote was a result of losing my journal, which was my like everything. And my first instrument was rock drums. So like, it's not even, you can't really write a song over that, but I like managed, and it was just like a pretty like brutal, I was kind of like resorting to songwriting because I lost what was incredibly important to me. So yeah.
What got you started journaling in the first place? I it's always something I wish I was able to do and was more disciplined in doing, but I've never been able to.
I was kind of just like raised around like people who loved poetry and storytelling, and I felt like someone that like I just wanted to document my, I don't know why, I just really wanted to document my feelings. I think I liked the drama of it. I think I liked feeling like I had something secret. And I think that once I started doing it, it really became like a safe space. And then that was kind of it. Like I do not like leave this anywhere far away from me. Like it's always with me, and it makes me feel safe, and it makes me feel like I have kind of like a touchstone of like different chapters of my life. And it's the most useful tool in my songwriting that I've like found so far, besides like referencing people that I am incredibly close to or like have had, you know, detailed conversations with about, you know, stuff that sticks out to me. Cause I just try to write everything down.
When it comes to ensuring your company has top-notch security practices, things can get complicated fast. Vanta automates compliance for ISO 27001 SOC 2 and more, saving you time and money. Unify your security program management and streamline security reviews with AI-powered security questionnaires. Over 7,000 global companies like Atlassian, FlowHealth, and Quora use Vanta to build trust and improve security in real time. Access Vanta's free suite of resources to scale your governance, risk, and compliance program at vanta.com/special. That's vanta.com/special. Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
If your business needs a new application, then developers will have to write code, a lot of code. If an application needs to be modernized, then you'll need time, resources, and caffeine. If that sounds daunting, then you need Watson X Code Assistant, AI designed to multiply developer productivity so you can generate code quickly. Let's create a more modern foundation for business with Watson X Code Assistant. Learn more at ibm.com/codeassistant. IBM. Let's create.
What has it been like working with producers on these recent Bastra songs, with songs that are so personal? I mean, was that a big adjustment from working on them sort of privately in your room and putting them directly on streaming platforms?
Yeah, originally, yes, for sure. When it was like before I signed to Interscope, I was kind of, when I was 16, I was allowed to have like my first meeting with anyone from anywhere. And it was my parents were like super protective, but a very kind woman had reached out, and I think they felt safer because she was a woman and they were not just like some like dude. Anyway, so I had a meeting, and she kind of helped originally when I was 16 hook me up with like a speed dating kind of like trial with different producers. And that was weird, but it also like interestingly didn't feel as strange as it does now, because I didn't know kind of like what I wanted to say as much as I do today. So I didn't really feel like I was entering every session with like the most extreme amount of vulnerability. And I feel that way now, which is why I feel really lucky to have kind of like met a handful of people that I love and trust entirely. And so it doesn't feel like there's like they have walls up. And at the same time, like, if I do feel scared for whatever reason to be vulnerable, it's like the power that I feel I have is to be able to be in my room alone and write a song and then bring it in. And I don't feel like I'm working through the language and the vocabulary in front of them, where I'm like, there's a clock running out and we have until 8 p.m. And like, I think it's like the pressure to write is not something that I had been familiar with until this year, just like being signed to a label, knowing like what I need to deliver, and also wanting to never release anything that doesn't feel true and honest. So it's like an interesting, but it also doesn't really take up too much space. I feel really lucky to have such a supportive team around me, and everyone is, I feel lucky to be like working with them. So it's a cool situation. Yeah.
Now that you sort of closed the book on the minor chapter, and processed those emotions, what themes are you looking to touch on in the songs that you're working on now?
I think that I would not have been writing about the same stuff had COVID not happened, honestly, because I'm like, I've only really ever been used to writing about what is in front of me, and like if I'm meeting someone new or if I'm going to a new place and kind of like experiencing things for the first time in some capacity, like that has always been attractive to me, and kind of like writing about first experiences and feelings. But now, because of how isolated we've all been and kind of like stuck in one place, I've been thinking back to the year that I lived in New York, because that same year was when I had my first like real breakup, and that's what Minor's about. But at the same time, like in hindsight, as important as that event was, like the year itself that I was there was filled with so much more life than just like, you know, being sad at the end of the day and like, you know, journaling about how much you might miss someone or how much you might hate them. It's like, I met the most amazing people that year. I like had kind of my first experiences as an adult, like not living at home and feeling that freedom is such a specific thing. And so I'm kind of writing in with like a sense of nostalgia that I am only now, like I think finally just barely old enough to be able to feel nostalgic about something. And it's just that city and having had the opportunity to live there. So I'm kind of exploring that at the moment. But
it's funny because I also went to school in New York and leaving a sort of more suburban area. And I remember that moment of when you leave to go to New York, you could come back home. It could be 3 weeks later and everything still feels so different being back home where
exactly.
You grew up. It's just this huge just dividing point in your life. And I know that sounds dramatic, but I remember feeling that too immediately.
No, exactly. It is. It's also interesting, like, because I'm writing about this a lot too and kind of trying to figure out how to say it because it is such a strange thing. But like, I love school so much. I never dropped out. I'm like technically on a leave of absence, but I love it. And the fact that like all of my best friends, all of my peers for the most part are still there. And I'm doing this thing that I love, but it is really different. Like, it's not, there's not a day-to-day, like, locked-in schedule. It's like, everything's up in the air. And, you know, touring could have been a reality this year, but it will be next year, knock on wood. And, like, that is a whole other, like, kind of experience that I can't necessarily, like, call my roommate from school and, like, be like, oh, you know, tell me how you got through this. Because it's a new thing. I don't know. I just, like, so I'm kind of trying to figure out how to write about that, like, separation, and that's been a super emotional part of like doing music at all, in a great way and in a hard way, but it's fascinating.
And you're also at this moment on a world tour, a very different kind of world tour. I mean, you're in a world tour in your bedroom. I mean, tell me about how that's going. How are these digital concerts going?
It's like the coolest thing I've ever done, I think, because I, having never played a show, and also being introverted, and having like my entire like experience in terms of sharing music with people, it's been on Instagram, except, you know, until this past year. But so I have like, or had the worst stage fright ever. Like, I was,
really?
It made me, yeah. Like, I, thinking about it when I was younger, because I would think about it when I was writing songs in like middle school and high school and whatever, like, I would sometimes think about it so hard that I would cry because it freaked me out. I was like, I don't want this thing to be the reason I can't pursue music, because it was like so debilitating and weird. And yet that was clearly a spawn of like my crippling anxiety, like not being able to even, I was basing that fear on nothing. But so these shows have been unbelievable because it's like the most dreamy version of like a transition between playing stuff for no one in my room and playing things on a stage for people. It's like, I am in my room, but I see their faces and their live reactions and we're talking throughout the show. And it's like, crazy. It's like a really weird thing that's like possible and like manageable and amazing. And so I'm now just like revved up and excited for shows. So I can't believe that like that's a thing that we can do today, but it's amazing. Yeah.
It has to be so surreal being in the very place in your bedroom where you would, you know, write these songs years ago. It must be so. Just that juxtaposition of being sort of where it began and also performing for people and being sort of where you want to be. That must be really incredible.
It's cool. It's like, I was nervous for the first like two or three shows. And then I kind of realized how comfortable I was, not because of like just the ability to like sing in front of people, which was a new discovery, but like, I know so many of the faces that were at these shows because of how many years I've been interacting with a lot of these people all over the place. And like, that's a crazy thing in and of itself. But like, I feel like a really strong sense of community with the people that for some reason listen to my music. Like, it's a really special thing that like they've allowed me to have. And especially during the pandemic, like, the most amount of faces that I've seen at one time have been during these shows. Like, and it is like serotonin. I'm like, I can get through the following month because I just got to have a conversation with like 150 people and it was weird and funny. And like, they're in Germany, but like, it was so fucking fun. And like, it was amazing. It's just like the best. So I love it more than anything.
Well, music for you, it seems to have always been, have this element of social media to it. As you said, putting songs on Instagram and also back in like SoundCloud, it wasn't just a way to listen to music. It was a way to connect and almost have a dialogue with the audience, how you could comment at specific points in the song in SoundCloud too.
Yeah. I mean,
tell me more about like just sort of the funny blend of social media and music for you.
Well, I mean, so I wasn't allowed to have social media in middle school when everyone else was getting it for the first time, and I felt kind of like a bit of an outsider, obviously being like in sixth grade and like insecure already. And my, just like, I was using the internet to discover new music anyway, found SoundCloud and just like kind of went off there and was one of the people that was commenting like four times a song at like every section that like made me emotional and then like replying to people's comments who also felt the same. And so I was like really interacting with people there. And then by the time I got an Instagram, it was like just a really obvious kind of like bridge. I was like, I'm already posting, you know, like this is how I'm comfortable using the internet, is to share music and to do it that way. And so it felt obvious to me. And at the same time, like it's an interesting instinct, I guess, to be able to like hit a button and then walk away from your computer and like not be scared, despite the fact that like that lives forever versus like a live show. You know, if people aren't documenting it, is there for, you know, an hour and then never again. So I don't know what the psychology is behind that, but that's how I started posting stuff anywhere.
Do you ever use their comments to sort of refine your songs or refine track lists or anything like that? Is it almost like a collaborative process?
I wouldn't say I don't spend too much time on SoundCloud anymore, sadly. Like, I think because of like the community that I've found on Instagram, like I feel really personally connected to all of them. And so I probably should read comments elsewhere, but I definitely feel like a sense of like, it is a bit of a collaborative process with strangers. It's cool being able to like test out clips of songs on Instagram too and see like how is it received even in like, you know, 100 comments. Like, is this a song that I should finish and release, or is it only worth the 30 seconds that I wrote and then I'll like leave it casually, like it's not a big deal. So that part is nice. But yeah, I mean, I also like definitely reference the people who listen to my music. They'll send me songs a lot, be like, I think you might like this, I think you, so there's like, even in that way, it's like I can pull production elements from, you know, references that, you know, strangers send me, and that's amazing also.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Before AI can help your business predict demand, accelerate growth, inform decisions, automate tasks, reveal insights, generate content, you have to trust it. Introducing WatsonX Governance, helping you govern any AI as data, models, and policies change so you can scale it responsibly. Let's create AI that begins with trust with WatsonX Governance. Learn more at ibm.com/governance. IBM, let's create.
AI might be the most important new computer technology ever. It's storming every industry, and literally billions of dollars are being invested. So buckle up. The problem is that AI needs a lot of speed and processing power. So how do you compete without costs spiraling out of control? It's time to upgrade to the next generation of the cloud. Oracle Cloud Infrastructure, or OCI. OCI is a single platform for your infrastructure, database, application development, and AI needs. OCI has 4 to 8 times the bandwidth of other clouds, offers one consistent price instead of variable regional pricing, and of course, nobody does data better than Oracle. So now you can train your AI models at twice the speed and less than half the cost of other clouds. If you want to do more and spend less like Uber, 8x8, and Databricks Mosaic, take a free test drive of OCI at oracle.com/strategic. That's oracle.com/strategic. oracle.com/strategic.
some of your musical heroes when you were in those days when you were first starting listening to SoundCloud? Who were the voices that really got you through?
Phoebe Bridgers is like the one, and she, her, when I was 13, I found her stuff on SoundCloud and like YouTube, and the first piece of music I ever posted to the internet ever was a cover of her song called Waiting Room. And it, I remember like finding the cover photo that I ended up uploading like from Tumblr. Like it was like all of that. Like I could not have like,
I love that so,
so
much.
So Phoebe, yeah, yeah. Like she really like shaped a lot of like what I started caring about in terms of, she was the first artist that I listened to where I was like, okay, I think that I want to be singing my own songs, because until that point, I just loved songwriting. And I was like, singing is nice because I can hear these songs coming to life, but like, I'm not a good, like, I can't do that myself. And I was so scared of people. So I was like, this isn't going to work. But Phoebe made it feel doable somehow. Like just, I was like, you are literally reading me your diary in these songs. And so if you can do it, I can do it. And so I owe her a lot of like weird confidence, but yeah. Well, so it's so bizarre. There's some like weird, I actually like, I've known her since I was 13 because I went to a middle high school, and when I was in sixth grade, there was like a senior or something at the school who had seen that I posted that cover somehow. And he was like, I know her, she comes through sometimes. So I met her at school, and then we've just like, we've known each other ever since then. And I don't see her often at all. And I'm like, I feel like I'm just still her biggest fan from afar. But you know, it's she's like so supportive of me and so kind and generous. And she doesn't need to spend any of her time like even thinking that I exist anymore, but like she's just really, really, she's just like the greatest. She's like the best artist ever, and she's just like the best person.
Oh, hey, you got some
really
great feedback from Lord,
cool when
too,
that
right?
happens. For some reason.
Oh, come on, because
no,
you're amazing.
No,
that would be the explanation why.
But she, I mean, I am just like, I'm everyone's biggest fan, so nothing else makes sense to me. Just, I just stay in this room and I like listen to music all day long.
I mean, this, as somebody like me who loves music with all my heart and has never been able to write a song, and just the way that people do it, it still seems like magic, even after all these years to me. You've been writing songs for what, 12, 10 years now, a very long time. I know this is probably a strange question, but what makes you a better songwriter? How does that process work? Is it getting better at articulating your feelings? Is it being able to come up with more complex melodies? Is it just mastering song structures and mechanics? Like, what is it that to you feels like you, how have you progressed, do you feel?
I'm actively trying to right now because it is really important to me that the music I release next does feel like there's a bit of an evolution. Like, I'm not, you know, literally stuck in this room, because I think that like I could make another project that sounds like Minor, because that's what really does come so naturally to me, is like that kind of songwriting, that kind of like production. I'm like, I can see this whole thing, but I want to step out of that. And I think what's been amazing for me to watch is specifically working with Blake Slatkin, who is my boyfriend, but like also works with so many different kinds of artists. And he is like a sponge when he's in a room with someone, in like a really amazing way, where he's so hyper aware of like intricacies that every single time we get back in the studio together, he'll like say one thing or play me one drum sound from like a previous session that he had in the week. And like, it will like spark something that if I hadn't heard that sound, I would not have otherwise like written a song. Does that make sense? Like, I feel like it's surrounding myself.
Almost.
Yeah. It's like, I mean, it's just like, I think exposure to music that you don't make is so important. And I think that's just like what I found. And, like, really listening to people, like, just, like, shutting your mouth and, like, listening to the people that are around you, or, like, listening to conversations that you might overhear on the street, and, like, and then, of course, like, just practice. But there are so many, I feel like there are methods in terms of, like, how many syllables you should use, or, like, what, like, mouth sounds make it easy for a song to, like, roll off the tongue and then therefore be more catchy, and there's all that stuff. I am really less capable of like those details are less obvious to me. I think, like, as someone who is not touching all the buttons when we're producing, it's like I'm thinking more about, like, what's the feeling, what do I want to feel at the end of the song, like, what am I feeling right now. I'm like, that's where my head is mostly, but I'm trying to, like, step out of that a little bit, because I think I have to in order to get better.
Something I've noticed with a lot of writers, either songwriters or novelists, or pretty much anyone who writes, is they almost have a hard time shutting the camera off in a way. They could be going through the most, you know, being broken up with in that very moment, and there's still a part of them in the back of their mind that's thinking, oh, wait, this is going to make a really great song, a really great line.
Yeah.
Do you find yourself having a hard time being present because there's that little piece of you in the back that's recording it all?
Sometimes, and that, like, sucks. Like, that can, like, that, like, so, like, that's, like, exhausting, because I think, like, you want to be able to do both things, and I don't think I, like, live there all the time, but for sure, like, and also, that's what, like, it's more so annoying when the people in your life, if you're, like, saying, this day was hard, or, like, this person made me feel XYZ, for, like, a friend or a family member, but, like, that's gonna be a great song, you know what I mean? It's like, yeah, or it just sucks. So, but, you know, I think it's like it goes both ways.
What does 2021 look like for you right now?
I'm writing my album right now, which feels different and, like, exciting. Genuinely, like, for the first time, like, the past month, it's finally started to feel exciting, because I was struggling to write for a lot of quarantine, which was also, like, stressing me out and making me feel like I actually don't really know how to do anything. Like, it was a very weirdly, like, in terms of writing, like, a debilitating year. And I still don't know exactly why, but obviously just, like, based on circumstance, like, a lot is different right now. So I've started to become more patient with myself in that way. And as I've done that, the songs have actually started to come. So I'm relieved and therefore excited. And if everything goes to plan, and if people stay safe, and if we as a country, like, get our shit together, tour will be a thing. Not just here, but in I think May, I'm supposed to be in Europe, which would be amazing. And I don't know. I'm like, I just am stoked. I was feeling super kind of stressed about a lot of unnecessary things a month ago, and having had the opportunity to release Brush Fire at the end of this year made me feel like almost like I could reflect on the music that I released and wrote this year, and made me excited and, like, motivated to move forward. And I for a moment was not feeling that way. So I just feel a very, like, overwhelming sense of gratitude. And more than anything, I hope that everyone's just safe next year, but we'll see what happens.
Learning to be good to yourself in times like this, and accepting that, you know, the anxiety and just everything else that surrounds us is, I think, something that I think everybody's working on, is being like, okay, today I'm not feeling that great, but you know what? Tomorrow could be better.
Exactly. Yeah, fully. It's such a day by day thing for everyone. And especially considering, like, all of our experiences this year are they're as wildly different as we all are as people, based on our backgrounds and what we have access to or don't. And so I think, like, more than it really is, I feel so lucky for absolutely everything, and excited and hopeful that, like, all of us, like, as people, will continue to support each other, because there's a lot of kindness that exists, but, like, I just hope that we can, like, lean on that, and
I'll say, well, that's said, my speech. Well said. My last question, hey. If you could snap your fingers and have everything go back to, I'll say normal in quotes, whatever your definition of normal is, this time last year, say, what would be the first thing that you would do? Places you'd go, people you'd hug, things you'd do?
It's such a, like, specific, like, personal one, but my mom's whole family is from Maine, and that is, like, a really important place for me, like, being in the woods and, like, by the water, feeling that connected to, like, nature every year of my life, like, has been something that I feel like, really, like, actually for writing is, like, a really helpful thing for my head. And getting out of LA, which I love, but, like, can feel, like, really exhausting and kind of loud, and so I wish I would go there if I could snap. I would just go there alone, frankly, and be, like, in the trees, and, you know, hug my cousins and all the things, but fingers crossed that happens soon.
Absolutely. I'm a New England boy myself. I totally get it.
Oh, are you? Where are you from?
I'm from about an hour west of Boston, a little town called Lunenburg.
I'm so jealous. I'm
hoping to get there soon. Hopefully it all goes to
plan. Yeah, I hope for you. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, Gracie, thank you so much for your time today, your music. You're the best. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you for everything. Thank you for having me.
Inside the Studio is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, check out the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.